Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes and non-token lovers of liberty. It is Monday, March 28th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We got another great week of programming for you here on CannabisRadio.com, and I'm very pleased to be coming to you live from Boulder City, Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas, near the Grand Hoover Dam out here, the incredible engineering marvel, and looking out over outside the windows over Lake Mead out there. And it's a blustery day here in Nevada, and we've got plenty of cannabis news to bring to you today. And in a special event here for the show, we've got not one, but two guests joining us on today's show. First, at 5:30, we'll be visiting with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A like we do every Monday. Although we've missed Dr. Mitch the past couple of Mondays. I've been traveling and had tech difficulties, but Dr. Mitch is back today, so get your dialing fingers ready. The phone line is 971-533-7111. I'll also be paying attention to the chat room here on CannabisRadio.com. So if you've got any questions about cannabis science, culture, history, or health, Dr. Mitch is the guy to ask. And we've got all sorts of interesting studies to talk about today. In the research, there is some indication that marijuana legalization has not ameliorated the racial disparity in marijuana arrests. We'll talk about that. We've got that study about marijuana use and economic and social problems to talk about. We've got a look at CBD as a fast-acting antidepressant. We've got that study on pot use among young people and social exclusion. We've got a look at marijuana use reducing opiate use and being able to heal the brain damage from alcohol abuse through the use of cannabis. All those topics coming up today in our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. After that interview, we've got another interview. We're going to be doing another activist agenda segment. And joining us again is Morris Beagle from the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago in our hemp headlines, or our hemp update, I should say. So he'll be joining us again to remind us about this Northern Colorado Hemp Expo. It's taking place this weekend. We'll get all the details from Morris at the end of the show. Also coming up on the show today, we've got time for some drug war data mining, and we've got a look at the latest stats on medical marijuana in the state of Michigan, where the legislature in Michigan is trying their darndest to take away the rights of medical marijuana patients and make it just much more difficult for them. Fortunately, we've got three different efforts in Michigan that are fighting to legalize marijuana, and perhaps we can put those problems behind us. The statistics coming out of Michigan show medical marijuana to be extremely effective and popular. We'll bring them to you right after our Behind the Headlines segment. And today in Behind the Headlines, we're going to debunk some reefer madness. The Drug Czar was out recently. Drug Czar Botticelli was out speaking to the public and once again brings up that long debunked reefer madness gateway theory that marijuana use is going to lead you straight to heroin. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to debunk that for you here in our Reefer Madness Debunked segment. That comes right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got the latest poll on marijuana legalization, both nationwide and out of the state of Michigan. Kind of a Michigan-centric show today. We're also going to take a look at Kansas, where Shona Banda, the medical marijuana patient, has filed a federal lawsuit. We'll tell you why. Also in Massachusetts, some predictions on how much money could be made in legal marijuana in the Bay State. In Vermont, the governor there is calling Massachusetts' initiative a bad pot bill. And we've got to look at an activist in Colorado Springs giving free medical marijuana to our veterans. All that coming up today on The Russ Belville Show.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! It's hemp temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for? Are you stupid?
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, March 28th, 2016. A new record majority of Americans support the legalization of marijuana. The latest poll from the Associated Press and NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found that 61% of those of the over 1,000 adults surveyed agreed that use of marijuana should be legalized for adults. One-third of those who support legal marijuana say there should be no restrictions on adult use, and about one-quarter say marijuana should only be available to adults with a doctor's prescription. The remainder, a plurality of 43%, believe that marijuana should be legal to all, but with limitations on purchase amounts. 62% believe that some form of substance abuse is a problem in their communities. Of those respondents, just over a quarter found marijuana use to be a, quote, extremely serious problem, compared to about a third for prescription pain relievers or heroin, and over 36% for alcohol and other drugs. Another poll is out today showing 53% of Michigan residents would support the taxation and regulation of marijuana. The Epic MRA poll found that 45% would reject such a measure, with 2% undecided. That marks a 3-point increase in support from when 50% of respondents answered a similar 2014 poll. Kansas's Shona Banda has filed a federal lawsuit over local law enforcement actions regarding her medical use of cannabis to treat her Crohn's disease. Banda's 11-year-old son spoke up to correct a school official who was instructing his class about illegal drugs. When the school official referred to it as marijuana, Banda's son explained that it was properly called cannabis, and it was a medicine that helped his mother survive. Banda's lawsuit alleges that police and school officials improperly interrogated her son without her permission or presence. Banda also alleges that her civil rights were violated by the state of Kansas, preventing her from using the medical cannabis that keeps her alive. Banda is acting as her own attorney and seeks unspecified damages from the state of Kansas. Officials from Garden City, Kansas, and the state of Kansas have refused to comment on the pending litigation. The marijuana market in Massachusetts could top $1.1 billion annually by 2020, according to the latest predictions. ArcView Group and New Frontier, two leading cannabis market research firms, believe that the legalization of marijuana in the Bay State could create a thriving tourist destination for cannabis aficionados in the Northeast. The firms predict $300 million in sales the first year, 2018. That would triple to nearly $900 million in 2019. These predictions only consider the direct sales of marijuana and not the ancillary businesses sure to spring up to service the new billion-dollar market. Meanwhile, medical marijuana is expected to generate over $78 million in sales this year and should expand to over $240 million in medical-only sales by 2020. The governor of Vermont is warning that Massachusetts' pending marijuana legalization initiative is a bad pot bill. Governor Pete Shumlin writes in a blog post that, quote, "Now is the time to take a smarter approach on marijuana," end quote, noting that Massachusetts' 2016 initiative, quote, "would allow edibles that have caused huge problems in other states, smoking lounges, home delivery service, and possession of up to 10 ounces of marijuana," end quote. Shumlin prefers the proposal in Vermont's legislature that, quote, "allows none of that," end quote. Vermont's proposal would also not allow residents to grow their own marijuana at home, limiting adults to 1 ounce marijuana purchases at state-licensed stores. Shumlin writes, quote, "If Massachusetts moves forward with their legalization bill while Vermont delays, the entire southern part of the state could end up with all the negatives of a bad pot bill and none of the positives of doing the right thing," end quote. Steve DeFino is the founder of the Veterans Farmers Alliance and is handing out ounces of free marijuana to veterans this weekend in Colorado Springs, saying, quote, "I've talked to guys that are ready to kill themselves. They're ready to take their own life because they feel nobody is there for them. So this is a small way to say thank you for what you've done," end quote. DeFino says the effort costs him around $1,400 and will take place this Saturday at the Dab Lounge in Colorado Springs. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, March 28th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun-grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in cannabisradio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour, and today for Reefer Madness Debunked, we're taking a look at Michael Botticelli. He is the director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, a.k.a. the Drug Czar. And recently, he was speaking at a panel on Capitol Hill, before a House panel, as a matter of fact. And the panel was with regard to the heroin and opioid crisis, the epidemic that this country is dealing with. But Botticelli decided he just could not resist. He had to jump into the middle of the heroin crisis and try to throw some marijuana in there, try to scare everybody about marijuana. And Gatehouse Media reported on this, and Botticelli told the congressional panel, quote, "I think the evidence is pretty clear that the early use of alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana, often used together, significantly increases the probability that someone will develop a more significant addictive disorder later in their life. Early substance use actually affects brain development and predisposes people for more significant vulnerabilities later in their life," end quote. All right, let's start tearing this apart. First of all, this idea that there's a gateway theory, that if you take marijuana, the next thing you know, you end up addicted to heroin, is complete bunk. It was debunked in 1999 by the Institutes of Medicine. Our own federal government's National Institutes of Medicine said that there is no causal relationship between the use of marijuana and the use of other drugs. The only gateway between marijuana and other drugs is the gateway that takes you into the illegal drug market. By putting marijuana on the same shelf as heroin and cocaine, that's the gateway. To get to the marijuana, you got to go to the same illegal market where the cocaine and the heroin are being sold. The Netherlands, the Dutch, they figured this out 30 years ago. Take the marijuana out of the hard drug market, put it in a coffee shop, and what do you know? Their heroin use declined. Same thing happens in Portugal. Portugal decriminalizes the use of all drugs. They find their use of hard drugs declined. And this addiction theory that it's some sort of disease that affects your brain development has also been debunked. This is the idea that once you start marijuana, you've primed your brain to enjoy pleasure. Folks, you don't have to prime your brain to enjoy pleasure. Your brain's already programmed that way. Your brain likes pleasure. And that's why people get addicted to things that aren't physically addictive. They get addicted to gambling. They get addicted to sex. They get addicted to porn. They can get addicted to hoarding. Things that have nothing to do with a chemical reaction in the brain to a particular substance, and everything to do with the fact that the brain is primed to enjoy pleasure and gets pleasure from some dysfunctional things sometimes. So this is a ridiculous point that the drug czar tries to make, once again, trying to scare people about marijuana by bringing it and tying it to a much scarier drug. The drug czar also made a mention about how the drug people, marijuana businesses are trying to target our youth with things like funny cartoon characters. This is another thing I find amazing, that these people can say it with a straight face. You're worried about marijuana trying to entice people with funny cartoon characters? Have you seen an ad for Abilify lately? Have you seen any of the pharmaceutical ads lately? Count how many of them are cartoons for things like antidepressants and sleep aids like Ambien with a little fluttering butterfly cartoon. But for some reason, those cartoons aren't targeting the kids, just cartoons when it comes to marijuana. And by the way, nobody in the legal states now are using cartoons for their marijuana advertisements. All the states that have passed marijuana legalization have banned the use of anything that would be attractive to children as a method to advertise cannabis. So the gateway theory, the cartoon character idea, he's trying it all. And he keeps trying to say that this gateway theory is a reason why we need to keep marijuana illegal. He also says that there's confusing messages about medical marijuana. And they, of course, put medical in the scare quotes, as if that little girl who had 100 seizures a day that you saw with your own damn eyes stop seizing when she used medical cannabis. That's just scare quotes. That's just medical. We're talking over 2 million patients in the United States now since 1996 that have gained some sort of benefit from their medical use of cannabis. We're talking about a federal government that itself has over 6 or 7 patents out there for the medical use of cannabinoids and studies, over 29,000 on the federal government's PubMed website that show medical use of cannabis. It absolutely is gnarly, Mr. Spicoli. Look it up yourself. Go to PubMed.gov, and in the search box, type in C-A-N-N-A-B-I asterisk, like cannabis, but take the S off and put an asterisk there. You'll find over 29,000 studies on the medical use of marijuana. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Drug War Data Mining right after this.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the new era.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Chronicling the latest cannabis industry news and headlines.
Well, with 4 states with tax and regulate and the District of Columbia.
The state of cannabis.
Oh, my God, it's refreshing. We have people that generally wouldn't speak on behalf of cannabis for fear of retribution, fear of losing your practices, fear of many of those things, and find ourselves in a place that we finally can.
Bringing you fact-based news and views and keeping listeners on the pulse of what's happening in the industry today. The State of Cannabis. On demand anytime, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour, and in the data mines today, we take a look at some statistics coming from the state of Michigan. This is found on mlive.com, and it's data that's coming from the Licensing and Regulatory Affairs Department. That's LARA, they call it, in Michigan. And some interesting data with respect to medical marijuana. And the first one is a bit of trivia you may not have realized, and that is Michigan has the most registered medical marijuana patients in the United States. Now, I know you're saying, wait a minute, California's got to have more than Michigan. Yes, California has more medical marijuana patients than Michigan. The key to that phrase is registered. California doesn't have a statewide registry. So of all the states that have a statewide registry, Michigan is the state with the most registered medical marijuana patients at 182,091. So a shade over 182,000 medical marijuana patients in the state of Michigan. Back in 2012, the number of medical marijuana patients they had was 124,000. So they've increased by almost 60,000 more patients. They've almost increased by half the number of medical marijuana patients they had from just 4 years ago. So this is a pretty amazing growth in the Michigan medical marijuana program, and that's why it's so disturbing to find the state of Michigan working so hard to kill access for these medical marijuana patients, to take away medical marijuana dispensaries, for example. Where are those 182,091 patients supposed to get their medicine? They also took a look at the concentration of the medical marijuana patients, and the northern lower peninsula has the highest concentration of medical marijuana patients per population. And if you don't know Michigan well, geographically speaking, you got the Michigan part that's the lower peninsula, that's the one that looks like a mitten, kind of. And then you got that upper peninsula there that's at kind of like strip up on the north, right? So not that part, not the little detached part of Michigan, but the main mitten part, the northern part of that mitten, is the highest concentration. 42 patients per 1,000 residents there in that northern area. That's Montmorency County has the highest concentration. And some of the other counties nearby are close to that as well. The lowest concentration of patients is in the northern lower peninsula is I misread that. My fault. They're just saying most of the northern lower peninsula is the most patients. But where the least amount of patients are in western Michigan. Kent and Ottawa counties are 12 and 11 per 1,000 residents. Kalamazoo County down to 14 per 1,000 residents. And what they find is that the more people in a community, the lower is the concentration of medical marijuana patients. Wayne County in Michigan, that's down in the Detroit area, and your big metro areas there, has the highest number of patients, just about 25,000 patients in that county. But because there's so many people in that county, it only has 14.7 patients per 1,000, the seventh fewest in the state. Of all the major counties in Michigan, only Genesee County, fourth in population, is in the top 10 of concentration. They're fourth in the total population of patients, ninth with 30.3 patients per 1,000 residents. And the number one statistic here, and this is one that you'll hear seized on by our opponents often, and that is, for which conditions are people registering for medical marijuana? And the number one condition in Michigan for medical marijuana use is severe and chronic pain. 92.86%, nearly 93% of the patients are getting it for pain. And this is where our opponents will seize on a stat like that, and they'll go, oh, see, so-called medical marijuana, they're just getting it for a headache, they're just getting it for a backache, they're just getting it for pain. As if pain was no big deal, right? But yeah, they try to fool people by saying, see, they're not really getting it for cancer, they're not really getting it for AIDS, they're getting it for just quote-unquote pain. Well, here's how you debunk that. 92% are getting it for pain. 23% are getting it for muscle spasms, about 9% for nausea, 4.5% for cancer, about 3% for PTSD. And have you thought for a second, wait a minute, Russ, that's over 100%. Well, good catch. Exactly. It's over 100% because people can qualify under more than one condition. So say you got AIDS, you'd qualify for that, but you might also put down that I've got pain too, because guess what? AIDS hurts. AIDS causes some pain, right? So you'd qualify under both those things. So do you suppose people with cancer have some pain? Do you suppose people with severe nausea might also have some pain? Do you suppose the people with severe and persistent muscle spasms might have some pain? Of course. Pain is the number one symptom of almost any condition that you can get medical marijuana for. Hepatitis C, Crohn's disease, wasting syndrome, Alzheimer's, ALS, nail patella, any of those things could also have pain that attends it. So what we really find is that, yes, most medical marijuana patients are getting it for pain because most of the qualifying conditions also have pain as a part of that condition. But even for those patients who are getting it just for pain, I fail to understand why that's a problem when we have such an epidemic of chronic pain in this country. And when everybody, including the drug czar, is running around the country with their hair on fire over the heroin epidemic and over the opiate painkiller epidemic,
Those epidemics aren't just making themselves up. They're reactions to pain. They're reactions to people in pain. And if we keep from them the safer option of medical cannabis, all we do is create more incentive to use the more harmful drugs. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Mitch Earlywine answering your cannabis Q&A right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too. Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML. Or visit their website at norml.org.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany, and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 32 after the hour, time for our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch. Welcome back, Dr. Mitch. How are you?
A pleasure to be back, and I'm doing great.
I finally got all this tech stuff figured out. It's always a Monday I seem to have the connection issue, so thanks for being patient with us.
No problem, and sorry I had a weird microphone thing going before, or I would have picked up earlier.
Oh, that's fine. We got it all going on now. And folks, if you want to call in, our phone number is 971-533-7111. If you got a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, or just get it into our chat room here on CannabisRadio.com. But before we get into all that, we've got a whole bunch of studies that have taken place since Dr. Mitch and I last spoke. And this first one is really disturbing to me, Dr. Mitch, because for so long we sold the idea of marijuana legalization as a way to address the racial disparities in this country. And this latest study is saying, even though we legalized in the legal states, when people do get busted, they still tend to be black and brown. What can you tell us about this study?
Well, it's intriguing because I was disheartened too, and I've talked to some law enforcement officers who are trying to, you know, make some sense of this without it sounding racist. They emphasize that folks of African American or Caribbean descent or Latinos tend to deal more outside, and they're saying that might be a source of it. But they're still literally more than twice as likely to get arrested, and it breaks my heart. I really thought that legalization was going to have a big impact on this. I did get a call from Rosalie Pakula, an economist at RAND, and she said it's actually, you know, comparable to some of the things that are happening with other arrest rates for other crimes, though. So we shouldn't, you know, lose heart, and we just got to work hard and make sure that,
you know, folks get the opportunity to do what they need to do and live the lives they need to live.
So the bright side is that marijuana arrests are no more racist than the rest of them?
Isn't that a heartbreaker? My
yeah.
God.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes on that. And I do believe that, you know, this also dovetails into discussions we've had about the whitewashing, they say, of the Green Rush and how some of the marijuana legalization laws tend to be racist in discriminate against people who've had previous convictions from getting licenses, or they'll have, like, Oregon's law has this really vague character reference, like if they have good character that can work against minority applicants. Have you heard that yourself, and what do you think about that aspect?
Indeed, and even when you start thinking about what's required in order to start a cannabis-related business in these tax and regulated markets, clearly, you know, folks with money are just going to have a big advantage, and it's really rough.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to this other one. And I discussed this last week on the show, and I have a feeling you're going to think the same things I thought about it. But it's the study, and it's caught wildfire on the web. It's on Newsweek now, that regular marijuana use as a younger person is linked to economic and social problems as a middle-aged person. And what's the big problem with this study?
Well, obviously, these folks just aren't randomly assigned. And they try to statistically control for some of these social or economic disadvantages, but obviously you can't really draw any kind of causal conclusions. And I wish they had done a better job at measuring some of the other drug use, some of the alcohol use and things like that they did even with the cannabis use. And I realize, you know, we've been doing this show for years now, Russ. The same data set they follow up if they keep getting their grants every 4 years or so. And so then they make it sound like it's all a brand new finding. When really,
you
6 years ago, they were saying the same thing with the exact same people.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1.
And now they treat this like it's a brand new deal, when in fact, it's just, we've already seen in the sample that some subset of these folks who happen to use cannabis also seem to be running into troubles, but I feel like treating this as a brand new thing is completely unfair because it's confounded by all the previous times it's been reported.
To erase and re-record, press 3.
Yeah, and I'm having some weird thing going on with my Skype right now about saving a message, so I'm going to drop our connection for a second and see if I can make that be quiet.
To erase and re-record,
oh, we're doing it live, folks. This is what happens sometimes when you're doing it live. Let's see if we can end that connection. And
sorry, you're having trouble. Yeah. Your message has been sent. Please try
Thank
again
you,
later.
Skype. I
Goodbye.
Appreciate it. Goodbye, Skype. Okay, we are doing it live. So sorry. Let's get Dr. Mitch back on the line. I think we had a second line that was open. Dr. Mitch, are you back there?
Indeed. Sorry, that must have been quite the message to save.
Yeah, I guess. There's like two connections going there at the same time. But the bottom line I thought on this study, too, is that, gee, I'm really surprised that when you drug test me for all the good jobs and you take my scholarship for a P-test, that my life turned out worse. What do you know?
Well, and in New Zealand, they're not as bad as they are in the States about some of that, but I think they're covering up some of the socioeconomic differences that may not be statistically significant, but are actually reasonable effects. And I want to emphasize, too, that with a sample, they've got over 1,000 people here, so they say, ooh, it's significantly more, but often it translates to something that wouldn't be that big a deal if we could actually see the scales they're measuring it on.
All right. Now, this next study, I didn't go too deep into this one because I wasn't exactly sure what to make of it, but it was a report that pot users' brains might react differently to social exclusion, a test of 18 to 25-year-olds, and whether or not their certain areas of the brain lit up when they were being, I guess, dissed. what can we make of this study?
Well, in truth, again, we don't have random assignment, but also I feel like they're framing this as if there's some kind of deficit here when, in fact, it may be an increased sensitivity. The folks go in and then they play this game where basically you're playing ball with two other people in the virtual world, or so you think, and those two start throwing the ball back and forth and skipping you, right? And then they say, ooh, the cannabis users had this different function in this certain area that we didn't really expect, and it's the insula. Nobody would expect the insula to be involved with anything as far as cannabis users are concerned. We're always talking amygdala, hippocampus, stuff like that. So I feel like they just took a giant scan and looked every single place they could, and sure enough, ooh, it's the insula. So I wouldn't make too much of this until the replications come in, but then they say, ooh, marijuana users might be less conscious of social norms. No, to me, this suggests they're much more sensitive, that in fact, you're a little bit paranoid when the other guys start playing ball without you.
Yeah, and I also wondered how that might tie into the demographics of marijuana use, how it tends to peak between 18 and 25 and then afterwards declines. And I wonder, maybe as a new young person, a new young adult, when you're feeling those social anxieties, the cannabis use reduces that fear for you. But as you get older, you're more accustomed to social situations. You don't need it as much. I didn't know what to make of it.
It's intriguing because that link to social anxiety may really be an important component here. I think you're onto something, Russ.
All right. Let's take a look at this one, as a lot of people have been talking about CBD use. And this report says that CBD's fast-acting antidepressant effects could hold promise for those struggling with depression. So is that a possibility? We could be looking at CBD as an antidepressant?
I'm blown away by this. And obviously, it's still in the rodent stages, but you know, I'm always a big fan of psychotherapy for depression, but if you're on a medication, psychotherapy makes it better, but it still takes a couple weeks to kick in. And this looks as if the cannabidiol might be acting more quickly, at least through that 5-HT sort of mechanism. But I also want to emphasize that the SSRIs and some of the other medications for depression can be super nauseating. So people, you know, go on for a few days, then they got to go off because they can't stomach it. Then they try a second one, then they try a third. And if, you know, everybody can take CBD without any weird, almost everybody can take it without any weird nausea or reaction. So I'm super optimistic about this. I hope this pans out.
Oh, we'll keep our eye on that. Of course, there's been a lot of discussion in America, and we just recently did a story on the Vermont governor pointing out the opioid overdose rates in this country, the heroin addiction epidemic that people are talking about. This latest study finds that medical marijuana use reduces opiate use. This just sounds like a follow-up to other studies because we've reported this before.
Exactly. And it's nice to get confirmation. I had to double check to make sure it wasn't actually the same data set.
Yeah.
And they were just a little late on the news. But yeah, we've got different ways of approaching this question, and they all seem to converge on this. We've seen it in Canada. We've seen it in the United States. I can't find a stronger argument for medical cannabis, particularly given all its other wonderful effects. So I sure hope that legislators are paying attention.
And this other study also seems like something we've mentioned before, and that's cannabis being able to help the brain cells heal the brain cells that are damaged by alcohol abuse.
And this was neat because it went a step further and looked at that CB2 receptor and its involvement. And so it seems like, you know, we're just in the animal phase here, but we've seen some converging evidence with the neuropsych findings in alcohol and cannabis users in humans. And now we've got a pretty detailed mechanism here. I feel like, you know, CBD can hit the CB2 receptor in certain circumstances. It may be just cannabidiol. It wouldn't even be psychoactive. I wish we could get a clinical trial of this up and running, but, you know, good old Schedule One, this is going to be a real long time before we can get the answer.
Well, those last two studies kind of follow up on something we discussed last time we talked, and that was how, you know, when kids have problems with weed, the first thing we do is exclude them from social activities, take them out of the extracurriculars, like the worst thing we could do for them. And these other two studies kind of point to two other, like, opposite things that we do than what we should do. When we find medical marijuana reduces opiate deaths, why are we forcing people with opiate prescriptions to have to take P-tests to go off of medical marijuana? Even the, wasn't it the, was it the FDA or, the, no, it was the CDC that recently said that was a bad idea. And then this one with alcohol and marijuana, all the states that have legalized keep trying to say, wherever there's marijuana, there cannot be alcohol. Wherever there's alcohol, there cannot be marijuana. Seems to be harm increasing rather than harm reduction.
It's funny because we're sort of pitting the drunk driving literature against the brain the brain development literature. So in fact, there is an oddball synergistic effect with cannabis and alcohol in driving. So even back in the 90s, the data coming out of Amsterdam were suggesting that, you know, it's not a good idea to do both of these in drive. And truth, alcohol and driving just don't mix. But we've got an opportunity to preserve function that alcohol might dissipate But unfortunately, it then makes the drive home more difficult. So I'm looking forward to starting a taxi company or something.
There we go. The Duber for Uber, Uber Duber, whatever.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, folks, make sure you catch Dr. Mitch Earlywine's podcast. It's here on CannabisRadio.com. It's called Burning Issues. And he spends an entire half hour talking just like this, going over the nitty gritty of the scientific and research and cultural details of cannabis. If that's your bag, that's what you'll want to get into here on CannabisRadio.com, the Burning Issues show. And if you felt nervous or shy about calling in, we totally understand that. You can get your questions in anonymously if you like by emailing 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And our phone line is open 24 hours a day, 971-533-7111. You can leave a voicemail question for Dr. Mitch if you like. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us again, and we will talk to you again next week.
Always a pleasure, Russ.
Thank you, sir. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have news on the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo with Morris Beagle coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
As it relates to my brother, there's one thing I know for sure. He kept us safe.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they're all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know, and that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. 47 after the hour, and today in the Activist Agenda, we're rejoined by a friend of the show. Morris Beagle is on the line. Morris, welcome back. Hello, Morris.
Why, thanks for having me back, Russ.
Oh, so glad to have you here. We're talking about the NoCo Hemp Expo. That's Northern Colorado, and that's this weekend, correct?
Yes, it is, Friday and Saturday.
All right, let's tell folks, you just give them the an idea of what they can expect at the NoCo Hemp Expo this weekend.
All right, well, we've got 2 days. We've got Friday and Saturday. Friday is really the B2B industry day, and then Saturday is our general open to the public day. And we've got 130-plus vendors. We've got over 50 sponsors. Got over 70 speakers from all around the world coming in to talk about a variety of topics, including, you know, the roots of the industry, how it all began, the seed situation that we're facing here in Colorado and around the country, farming, cultivation, processing, technology, science, genetics, and on and on and on. We've also got a lot of workshops. We've got building with hemp, cooking with hemp, juicing with hemp, crafting with hemp, making paper with hemp. Let's see. Well, man, we've just got so much going on. It's great. We have an art zone where we're going to have artists painting on hemp paper and a kids area that they can color on hemp paper.
So this is
we've got a hemp tomorrow stage.
Morris, when you're referring to this as the hemp expo, then we're specifically saying the industrial type hemp, not hemp as a generic term for all cannabis.
Right. We're talking about cannabis hemp and not cannabis marijuana. If we're going to separate, you know, it's all cannabis. It's one plant. It's one battle. But, you know, we're really fighting this side of the battle, which is a battle that, you know, it's been a real bitch to fight. You know, the marijuana side of things has moved forward. There's a lot more money that's been invested in it. And, you know, that industry has had customers, you know, for a long time here in the U.S. And once things became legal, those customers just came above ground. And so did all the growers and processors and that whole, you know, distribution network. So this side of it, it's really all about the industrial side and the nutritional side with the food and the body care. And now the CBD nutraceutical side, you know, health supplements. And, you know, that side of it is a lot more interesting to, you know, a lot of your kind of marijuana connoisseurs because they're into the medical side and all those benefits. And you can get a lot of those same benefits, you know, with low THC or no THC. But obviously the THC for a lot of the medical side of things has that entourage effect and you'll get better results depending on what the situation may be.
Right. And you were mentioning how you're going to have demonstrations on juicing, for example, where people are getting a lot of these nutritional benefits and some medicinal benefits from, you know, say CBD, for example. Could you go into a little detail about that?
Oh, yeah. We've got this gal named Cease. She works for a company called CBDRX that's our presenting title sponsor. And she's a very knowledgeable cook and, you know, preparing healthy foods. And she does juicing with hemp and, you know, other organic fruits and vegetables. And, you know, when you juice cannabis, the nutrients that are in the cannabis plant are, you know, it's one of the most nutritious plants on the planet. And so, you know, the only difference between juicing marijuana and juicing hemp will be the level of THC in the plant and the other cannabinoids that are in there. And, you know, with hemp, you know, a lot of this hemp has really high CBD and, you know, some of it's got higher CBN and, you know, CBG and some of these other cannabinoids. But, you know, from a juicing standpoint, it's super healthy. And, you know, if one can afford to do it, I would recommend juicing this stuff every day.
I've heard that from a lot of people that are very into the raw cannabis juicing and say that it has remarkable nutritional benefits for them. Of course, the hemp seed, we all know about its proteins and omega-3, 6, 9 balance. And we're speaking with Morris Beagle from the NoCo Hemp Expo. It's taking place Friday as more of a B2B thing, and then Saturday more of a public invitation sort of thing. Where can people get tickets? Where is it being held? Give them kind of the geographic information they need.
It's being held in Loveland, Colorado at the Ranch Events Complex, which is right off I-25. It's easy access from Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins. Tickets are available online at nocohempexpo.com. There's a B2B ticket that covers both days and then a general admission ticket for Saturday. And yeah, we're in Northern Colorado.
What's the times on the day? What time do you open and close?
10 to 6 both days.
Okay, 10 to 6 Friday and Saturday. B2B ticket gets you both days. General admission gets you Saturday. Check this out, the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo. Another aspect of hemp that has a lot of people excited is as a building material. Do you have any demonstrations people will be able to see about hempcrete or anything like that?
Yep, we've actually got a hemp workshop, a hemp building workshop both days, put on by John Patterson of Tiny Hemp Houses. And he's got a couple other gentlemen that will be working with him on those workshops. And then we've got a building panel on Friday discussing, you know, where things are at here domestically with hemp building and what's going on around the planet with hemp building.
All right. And how about this as a... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there's a gentleman named Sergi who's coming over from Europe, who's a pretty expert, expert builder guy that's going to be participating as well in the workshop. And we've got people from Europe and China and Canada and a variety of international folks that are coming in specifically for this event to talk and exhibit and participate.
You know, that this is a cannabis hemp event and not a cannabis marijuana event. How would this stack up as, say, a family-friendly affair? Would there be things for kids to see that would be appropriate, things for them to do and touch?
Yeah. So we do, in our art zone, we're going to have a table set up so they can color on hemp paper. And last year we had kids. It is a family-friendly event. I mean, vast majority is all really hemp driven. There are some vendors that play on both sides of the fence, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to walk in there and see a bunch of vape booths and bongs and pipes and that sort of thing. It's really focused on the industrial side of things, but being cannabis, and it's pretty supported, all the way around. The hemp people support the medical and recreational side and vice versa. So, that element, you can't get away from that element. But if you go to a marijuana event and you see some hemp vendors, they're like a second, an afterthought.
Yeah.
And at our event, that's what it's all about. And whatever little marijuana stuff could be around there, it's not really about that. It's because those people are playing on both sides of the fence.
Gotcha. Now, who are some of the speakers that you'll have there?
Well, we've got one of your regulars. He's giving the keynote for State of the Industry, and that's Doug Fine.
Oh, yes.
And, this will be his third NOCO, and he's been participating at all of them, and he's been a great supporter of this event, and he's certainly, an expert internationally and has visited a lot of hemp farms and people that are in the industry and can talk very knowledgeable about a lot of different areas. So he's a keynote. We also have Ben Franklin. He's a Ben Franklin impersonator. He's one of the top guys in the world. It's BenFranklinLive.com. And he's going to keynote and talk about patriotism, humanity, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And talk about that time period and how the country was founded. And, a lot of things that need to be talked about in today's environment. Because our environment politically right now is about as chaotic as it can get. Hopefully this is as chaotic as it can get.
Well,
I guess we'll see what happens the next few years.
Absolutely. And I know that there's been, I read some stories, and maybe this was Tennessee where I was reading this story, but where some previous farmers that had farmed hemp the year previous weren't going to take it up the next year because of all the hassle of getting seed and getting through all the permitting process. Is that the state of the industry there in Colorado? Are the farmers a little reluctant now because of the bureaucracy?
Not really. I mean, we've got a regulatory system set up here with the Department of Agriculture that's pretty friendly in comparison to the other states.
Okay.
And we've got a lot of interested farmers. We do have a seed problem. Seed's expensive here, and there's import issues. And over the course of the next year or two, we're going to work through that. We're going to have a certified seed program that's going into place this year. And it's just growing pains because the crop's been, banned for so long. And to get it off the ground now, there's still issues at the federal level. There's gray areas, and it needs to come completely off the schedule and just be total Department of Agriculture, no FDA, no DEA. I mean, other than the FDA kind of monitoring it like they do the natural foods industry, and you can't make medicinal claims, and you need to make sure if you're putting out a bottle of CBD oil that says it's got 500 milligrams in it, it really needs to have that. It shouldn't have no milligrams or 10 milligrams, because then you're screwing the customer. And that snake oil salesman aspect is something that the FDA will target. And, as long as we keep them at bay and this is marketed as, a natural product, a dietary supplement, at least on that end, that's a problematic end that kind of exists right now. But I think over the course of the next couple of years, all that stuff's going to get worked out. and, you know, we'll be growing hemp all around the country.
Oh, looking forward to it. Folks, it's the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo, NoCo Hemp Expo. It's a .com, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, NoCoHempExpo.com. Check it out. B2B on Friday, general public on Saturday. Morris Beagle, thanks for joining us and telling us all about it.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate you having me on.
You betcha. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one here, but stay tuned. Hour two is coming next here on CannabisRadio.com, live from Boulder City, Nevada. We've got some Bernie Sanders talk for you. We've got another stupid prohibition story, a drug tunnel in Mexico, cannabis scents, and more coming up next. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.